Apparently, the final frontier isn't quite so final. The Star Trek Weekly special starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, unexpectedly, but happily, it is indeed a special installment of Star Trek Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt, joined by our illustrious panel from Star Trek Discovery. Flubbo, boys!
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, so look, glad it's to
be
Flubbo. Back.
It's me, Flubbo! So glad to be here. I ran down here for the Monday Raw After Show. I booked it. I'm sweating a bit, but I'm here for Star Trek Weekly. I'm loving life.
And I time traveled from the Legion After Show.
Yeah,
directly,
man, we're working hard tonight, yeah.
And missing out on her beauty sleep because it is after 10 o'clock, Nikki Bailey.
Hey, guys. I, went through a wormhole to get here from my couch.
You went. Where you should be right now.
Right? Would you ordinarily be right now.
Watching and rewatching the Picard trailer.
4,000 times.
And that's why we're here tonight. We'll probably touch on some other stuff as well. But that's the reason why we're like, we got to get the band back together.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we chose a night where Frank was on shore leave. So our our fourth wheel, Frank Moran.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you need four wheels.
You need the balance.
Yeah. There was a tricycle. We'll be all right. We're not going to fall on our faces, I hope. He is unable to be here, but he is as excited as you would expect. But I will start off by asking you, Nikki, did you cry when you watched this trailer?
I did not cry, though I did squeal very loudly.
Yeah.
And I did dance. And there was, at the end of all of that, a, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, at which point I tweeted OMG at you guys.
Yes. And that started a conversation of like, yeah, we really have to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
I had read accounts that people were crying at the Comic-Con panel where they saw it. And I was moved and excited, but I did not. I shed no tears.
Aww.
But, well, you know, yet. Yeah, the show itself could very well have that effect.
Oh, there will be crying.
And
oh, yeah.
Look, if anything was going to make me cry, it would be just the complete loss of timbre in the voice of Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
So in Logan, I just thought that he was playing just really old Charles Xavier, and that was like an acting choice. I'm like, oh, no, wait, he just sounds like that now.
Yeah.
So but I think that's going to work for this story.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like it's okay that Captain Picard's older. And,
That's,
he's still the man we love. We still respect him, but he's an older fellow now.
Yeah, he should embrace it and not get whatever passes for a facelift in the 24th century. Now, Flobo,
obviously,
for people who are familiar with the various incarnations of this show and the Discovery After Show, That was really your first foray into Star Trek.
So,
As we talked about at the end of Discovery, you were going to dive right into Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And then you got bullied, Nikki, into not doing that.
I did not bully him. I just strongly suggested, coerced, and harassed.
First of all, I just want to be the one to say, Flobo, it gets better.
Okay.
So don't let yourself get bullied like this.
It's been slow going.
Yeah. So you did settle on Next Generation.
Yes.
And so you must be, what, 4 or 5 seasons in?
No.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of episodes per season.
Oh, so
it's not premium TV.
I'm pretty sure someone told you to skip season one.
It was you, actually.
It wasn't
me. It was you,
but
yeah.
I can't allow that. You cannot skip a season. You have to go.
That's also true.
Yeah. Look, you could have gone back and watched it after you watched the good seasons.
Well, the bottom half of the first season's been better.
I think, it's a little better.
Yeah.
I think that maybe if you started with season two, you maybe would have been motivated to watch more. But that's besides the point.
But once you start season two, what do you do? How many episodes a day are you getting through right now?
4 to 6, depending.
All right. So once you start season two, you'll get through them so quickly.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And we're going to try to steer clear of the topic of Wesley Crusher because there was a very passionate debate before the show.
It's not passionate at all. Everyone thinks he sucks except for Nikki.
People on this panel, people who aren't even on our after show, out in the office area, Wesley Crusher forever, okay? I am ride or die Wesley Crusher. The rest of you can suck it. You can't appreciate him. It's not my problem. Sorry.
And look, I've never put this specific opinion out there before, but conversationally, I decided to see what everyone else thinks. Is Wesley Crusher the Jar Jar Binks of Star Trek? Let us know in the chat.
Oh, snap.
No. It's a question. It's a question.
So wrong.
Just ask
him. It's a valid question.
So wrong.
And if he's not, Tasha Yar probably is, right? No. Denise Crosby, maybe Flobo might see her again later. That incarnation I really liked, actually.
Okay,
I think that when we see her later, and it's not Tasha Yar.
I don't understand how you hate the two characters that I had the biggest crushes on
at
in
the same
the
time?
Next Generation.
Hey,
different ways.
I'll tell you.
At different times, I think that I really, me and Tasha, I started to fall in love with her. Oh, I can't even tell you because I don't know where you are. So I can't tell
there's,
you. But
there's a point.
There's a point where everyone kind of fell in love with her for a minute.
Okay.
No.
How could you not?
Oh, it was so easy. It was the thing that I liked the least about the show was her just yelling. And I was always... Look, if I was going to have a crush on anybody, it was always going to be Worf. Anyway, team Worf forever. But we'll talk about some characters from The Next Generation in addition to Jean-Luc. But Flobo, the reason why I brought all that up... So you saw the trailer.
Yeah.
And probably just like, oh, okay, so there's some Star Trek stuff in there.
Sort of.
Didn't really connect with you on too many levels?
Sort of, because I know before we were talking about that on Star Trek Discovery when this was doing the Discovery recaps, and we were talking about the shows you're going to do spinoffs of and which one you're going to be most interested in, but I was like, oh man, I want to see that George O series, you know? And you were like, no, Picard. And I was like, I don't want to.
I would still love to see the George O series. I believe we're going to get it at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I clicked on that trailer with very, very low expectations because, again, I had like, what, four episodes in the time when it drops. I was actually surprised because whereas Discovery's is, you know, giant, dare I say, expanse or expansive type of story, this looks very, very personal, very, very character driven. So I was actually on board and I was surprised. I was like, I actually want to see the show, which is actually motivating me to watch these things quicker.
Yes.
The old TNG. Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that we see in the trailer, Nikki, and we should just get right to it. Your reaction to first, when we first see Data, he's disassembled in a drawer. So, I mean, that's what they show us. So your thought on that, seeing that they're talking about Data, but he's not apparently assembled for reasons that I'm sure we'll find out sometime next year.
Well, I at first forgot what had happened to Data at the end of Nemesis.
Right.
And so...
I've been trying to forget Nemesis for 15 years. Yeah,
and so once I remembered that, then I was a little confused. Like, well, who's in the drawer or what's in the drawer? And then my girlfriend was like, oh my God, what if it's Lore?
Yes.
And that, like, that just blew my mind. Like he can't come back.
I thought it was Lore, too.
Yeah, well, and because you'd like just seen the episode that's called Data Lore from season one.
Yeah, so it could be. I don't know. There was that, and then I don't want to jump ahead, but it was a little. First of all, it was jarring to see Data in pieces, upsetting and jarring.
Yeah, whether that's Data or Lore, it's upset to imagine that someone carved up Brent Spiner. I'm kidding, but it's just the idea that it's that. You know, one of those two entities.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it was, well, why has it been in a drawer for 20 years? Which, again, leads me to think it's Lore because they can't reanimate him. So,
Right. Well, we don't know what's happened since Nemesis. So there's a lot of explanations that we could get. This could, of course, be Data. He does look different, which is, of course, the case. Considering that Brent Spiner is 20 years older, you can't pretend. Right. So, anyway,
who made that?
I don't know, but apparently it's out there. Wesley Crusher, the Jar Jar Binks of the Star Trek universe. So that's not me. So apparently that's not an original thought that I had, but I thought it was for like a second.
I'm legitimately
the internet has spoken.
The internet.
I am legitimately a little upset about it, and I'm a little. I kind of want to
this is why I don't. This is why I don't want to talk about it, because why would a child be on the bridge of a starship? But that's really why I don't want to talk about it. But that was me just opening the door and then closing it.
I have a question, though. I was surprised of the choice of not using CGI to make Data look like how Data did. Or is that just kind of like a budgetary,
that could be a budgetary concern. But I appreciate them not doing it. You know, I think... because you can do it, like the perfect example is, Well, you know, like you can make, you know, obviously you make actors look younger all the time. Like Sam Jackson in Captain Marvel, they made him look like he was 20 mm-hmm. years younger. And it worked and it looked fine.
Patrick Stewart in X-Men.
Yeah, that's true. So, look, that's all well and good, but just because you can do it doesn't mean you always should. Mm-hmm. I mean, I use the example of Star Wars Rogue One when they had Grand Moff Tarkin basically as a completely CGI animated, you know, facial, you know, I mean, Peter Cushing's been dead for, you know, most of our lifetimes, and they decided to, you know, basically invent having him there. It's very distracting even when it's well done. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, let's just have him look like this and you come up with an explanation. You can discount that preview, not the one that's about to come out, but the last Terminator movie. They're like, oh, yeah, and Arnold was able to actually get really old because, you know, apparently that happens when you have flesh. Yeah, just explain it somehow, so, yeah. And we're going to be okay. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, when we saw Picard in the trailer, when he says the thing about I don't want the game to end, and then Data says, I can see that, Captain. What I thought was, first of all, this face is distorted, so Data's face is kind of inflamed. But he's also, it looks like he's wearing the old uniform.
It does look like that,
so then I'm like, well, is this a real conversation? Is this maybe a holodeck thing? Is this, and even so, like, what's the explanation for why Data looks this way now? But for me, I was like, I'm a little nervous about what they could possibly, how they could bring Data back, and would he be part of the show, like, on an ongoing basis? And, like, I don't know if my heart can handle, like, all
seeing
of
him week in, week out.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it.
I wonder how often we're going to see him. But, and before we even talk about people that we're going to see that aren't in the trailer, let's move on to someone else who is in the trailer. And if you're familiar with my stance on Voyager from this show, and
you hate it.
It was my least favorite.
More than Enterprise, which you loved.
I hated Enterprise.
You hated Enterprise.
Hated Enterprise, but I love Voyager.
Okay.
I disliked the crew except Captain Janeway. I really liked her, but I didn't like anyone else. And introducing Seven of Nine was a new dynamic, so I was like, okay, this is interesting. There's someone new. I thought getting someone that's removed from Borg Collective is actually very interesting. Mm-hmm. And what I found most interesting in Jerry Ryan's portrayal in this trailer is that it was like just Jerry Ryan with the prosthetic, because it would make sense that, I don't know what, 20 years later, she would be that much more human, right? You know? Right, right. So I think she has one line, like, what are you doing here, Picard?
Yeah.
I think that's her line. But heck? it's still interesting that even in that you can tell it's like, oh, she's playing it differently now, which I think is important. But Nikki, your reaction to seeing Seven of Nine in the trailer?
Honestly, it took me a second to even realize I was looking at her.
Right.
I was like, wait, that's familiar. Oh, is that Seven of Nine?
Yeah.
And then I was like, she's so human.
Yes.
And I now want to spend time with her.
Yeah.
Because I loved Voyager. And I would, when I lived in New York, I would run into Kate Mulgrew on the subway all the time. And she thought I was stalking her, and I was. But
that's why she thought.
She thought correctly, yes.
Yeah.
But I always thought during that series that I wanted Seven of Nine to humanize faster. And so so I love that we're getting to see that now, because I feel like that's what should have been happening. We should have been seeing that happen more quickly on the series. So,
and I wonder how much we're going to see of Seven of Nine.
Yeah,
you know, is she going to be on multiple times? Is she going to be in like one scene? Is she going to get a cameo?
For sure. I would say, like, growing up seeing the one or two episodes of Voyager I actually did watch, because I'm a big wrestling fan. The Rock did a cameo in an episode of Voyager. I remember that one very, very vividly. He was in the fighting pit once.
So could Starfleet smell what he was cooking? Or was
they
that
tried,
not?
Man.
They couldn't. I just been curious. Yeah.
But yeah, it did seem that it was different, because definitely Seven of Nine seemed a lot more put together, a lot more robotic, I guess.
Yeah.
And so seeing her more in a relaxed tone was definitely like, well, was there an upgrade? So now I understand it now. It seems that it's just like a progression of taking human customs and mannerisms and All right, we're just gonna.
No. It is different than obviously the rest of the Borg that you ever see, and I think it is interesting that I think it's a very interesting character, and I will give credit to my mom, who was very funny when that character was introduced, and she took one look at her in the uniform that she wore for most of the series, and said, "Well, there's two implants that they didn't remove." And my mom's not the best with the one-liners. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm telling it to you like 20 some odd years later, it was pretty funny.
That was really good. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I think it's an interesting character to explore more. My thoughts on Voyager notwithstanding, I think it's a great choice for something different. Because it's clear that the story is going to deal with the Borg.
Yeah.
And before we say what we know about the story, not in the trailer, but confirmed appearing on screen on the show, are both Riker and Troi, who, as far as we know, are still Mr. and Mrs. Riker.
Right.
Now, who knows?
Okay. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Oh, now, look, we knew that Jonathan Frakes was going to direct. I don't know if he directed the pilot or the premiere, but he's going to be directing at some point. Mm-hmm. And now it's finally, obviously we all hope it's like, well, it's going to be stupid if he's there on set and they don't use him.
Right.
So the fact that he's going to be there and the fact that obviously we're going to have Deanna Troi there as well. We already got your reaction to that.
I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, the only question is just how low cut her top will be 30 years later, because that was very important in the first season of the show.
Keep it same continuity sake.
Yeah, well, you'll see what happens to the way she dresses on the show, and it's not something that I was in favor of, which is wearing a Starfleet uniform like she should. But
she was a counselor. She needed to be approachable to people.
So wearing that uniform made her more approachable?
No, you're right.
We're on the same page. We're totally on the same page. Yeah. So, I mean, look, that's great news. And look, I feel like that's just what they're telling us now. Do I think everybody's going to show up? No. Is Dr. Pulaski going to be there?
Hell no.
Well, that begs the question then. The parts you guys have seen so far, are you looking forward to it, or it seems like it's too much grafting old universe?
I mean, I'm just only speaking for myself, but I was just like, no, it's good. Give us a little bit. I think if you saw the whole crew assembled on the crew of whether it's a starship or, even just sitting there at having dinner or something at the Picard Vineyard, if we saw everybody, I was like, man, I don't know that I needed that. I want it to be like a new, different story.
Yeah, and I want them to have had lives beyond each other. Like, of course they love each other and they'll be friends forever, but like they can't still be together.
I think it'll be good to see them kind of reconnect, as the series goes along. But what we do know is that this is going to happen, a very important moment in Star Trek history is going to be the destruction of Romulus, which we have to remember happened in the Prime timeline, created the Kelvin timeline, which is the J.J. Abrams verse. Mm-hmm. Right. So it created that, but it still happened in our timeline. And so that's going to factor into this, Picard's where he was and what was happening at that point. It's been alluded to since the series was announced. We don't really know that much of it, but you can tell that he's definitely retired at this point. I mean, he seems to have some medals that he's looking at or commendations of some kind. What do you think about this approach to Picard, Nikki? This sort of like the age he is, but also clearly it doesn't seem like he's been out of Starfleet for, 2 or 3 years. It seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, I've always wanted to believe that Captain Picard would leave Starfleet and then, go have a life and maybe even if not a family, but at least a life. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited. I think I posted this, that I was excited to see that he had a dog. And, but I think I've always wanted to think of him as someone who left and had, you know, had friends and family or whatever. So the hearing them say, hearing him say that he could never get used to being at Chateau Picard as like a, you know, like that could never feel like home. It never felt like home to him. That made me so sad. I was like, you know, and I take my TV very seriously. And these characters, I told you guys, I told you before the show, my whole like many years fantasy that allowed me to be a part of the storyline.
Yeah.
So like to me, it was like hearing that, like this father figure has just been feeling alone and kind of displaced for a long time.
Right. What it does is it just reminds you, even though their styles were so different, just how similar Jean-Luc Picard and James T. Kirk were, as we saw in Generations. Sure. Just sort of reaching a point in their life where, you know, the action is for other people. And in Kirk's case, he was never suited to be an admiral. Like, getting kicked back down to captain was mm-hmm. actually what he needed. And the fact that, yeah, not being in the thick of all that. I know it's what I would imagine would happen. You know, obviously, in the real world, I'm sure that happens with people who have various command posts in the military or the police force, anything like that. Just all of a sudden, it could be for some people. Some people would love retirement. Other people are just like, it was a little too quiet,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, again, you know, your unfamiliarity with where these characters go, but knowing who they are.
Yeah, but that to me is completely universal, to your point. I mean, there's people that go, that retire and leave, and they have the big house and the lawn. They go, all right, either they love it, this is what I want, or, hey, it's not what I pictured, but I'm going to try it. And there's all that third character, that category of like, okay, my mind used to be able to deal with personalities and objectives and Picard maneuvers, but now I'm just looking at grass growing. And now you're thinking to yourself, I'm this age, I can't do anything, I'm advanced, and adventure comes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course you're going to make that jump, because if he was happy, he wouldn't do it. He'd be like, I'm fine, black at the end.
Right, the show of him where he spends the series going out and inspecting the grapes and you know, getting rid of the bad ones.
That's not a good show.
And then he's like, all right, well, obviously I'm going to have my afternoon tea. You're going to read some books. And
same score.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I had rather hoped, and Star Drew in the chat said this, I had rather hoped that Jean-Luc and Beverly Crusher would have gotten together toward the end, and you know, either whether the end of their careers or whatever, and that I had hoped that we would see Picard and Beverly just loving each other and living happily ever after.
Yeah, and I think that if this series, and we'll just assume, you know, the first season of the series doesn't address that, I think it'll be a disappointment for a lot of us. Yeah. I am expecting we'll find out why that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And there could be just one very simple reason, which is like, oh, yeah, we could not stand spending time with each other when we didn't have to work together. Mm-hmm. Could be that simple. But I think it'll be interesting to see. And yeah, I would hope that we see Dr. Crusher. And I don't know, are we able to see Wesley? Because isn't he like lost? This is a legitimate question. Isn't he like lost in the continuum?
He's like off with whatever that alien guy was, remember?
So I guess.
But there was the whole, he did film a scene in, what was the one where they got married? Which film was it?
That's Nemesis. Insurrection.
I don't remember.
No, I think it's the beginning of Nemesis.
He did film, like he was at the wedding.
Oh, okay.
He filmed it, but it didn't get into the film.
See, I did not even realize that. One of the things that I missed, I missed talking about here, is that a familiar face that we see is also Hugh, the Borg who, very differently from Seven of Nine, also found himself separated from the Borg Collective. It's the season 5 episode called I, Borg. So that is also a familiar face we're going to see. And this young woman who basically is the impetus for the adventure that Picard finds that he needs to go on, there is some connection to the Borg, so it would seem. And she needs Jean-Luc Picard to help her. And it raises a lot of questions, which we won't have answered until we see it. But Nikki, do you have any thoughts or hopes for who this young woman might be?
Okay, so, again, talked about it with my girlfriend at home. She thought, when we first saw her, is this Lol? Do you remember I'm sorry to ruin this for you, but do you remember LOL?
Yes. I'm okay. Sorry. I had to think about it for a second. Yeah.
So we thought maybe this is LOL.
Yeah.
Who knows? But then after watching it 11 billion more times,
yeah.
I was like, she might be some new version of a Borg or, you know, and then there was the whole, like, no assimilation sign. Did you see that in the...
You know, now that you say it, yeah.
So now I'm like, I don't know what to think of any of it. Like, right. Honestly, but I have like a kabillion different ideas about what things could mean. But I'm wondering if she is sort of some kind of like missing link between, you know, like preventing or promoting assimilation somehow. I don't know. I'm excited to find out.
The Romans aren't pleased.
Yeah, I think that what we could see, you know, there's the idea that she is some kind of offspring of Picard's that maybe he doesn't know that he has. You know, like Jean-Luc got around, let's be honest. You know,
he's around, a handsome man. And then who knows what they took from him when he was Locutus?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, you know? Exactly. So, and it would make sense that anyone who has a problem that is Borg-related, that this is the human that you would look for to mm-hmm. help you because he seems to be the only one uniquely qualified to deal with the Borg. And we see in this trailer, he's trying to basically get Starfleet to do something. And they're not interested, so he's going to get the crew together. And then those are the new characters who we see. And there's some familiar faces, you know, actors that you've seen before. You know, these are all completely new characters. So let's see. We have Dodge, Cristobal, Chris Rios, Rafi Musiker. Some of these sound a little too Star Warsy for me. I'll say it. Dr. Agnes Girardi, and Narek and Elnor. So those are our characters
that's the new crew.
That's the new crew. Mm-hmm. And I think that it makes sense that it would be a new crew, that he's not, you know, that he's not trying to get the old gang back together. He's like, I need a ship. I got places to be. So let's have this.
So he's wearing, though, when he has the jacket on, he's got his communicator on. We don't know, though, is this like a Starfleet sanctioned trip? We don't know if these are Starfleet people or anything. We don't know anything about
them. And I mean, look, those communicators were functional for a lot of reasons, one of which is to literally communicate, but also correct me if I'm wrong, that's how you were able to get a lock on someone so that you could beam them somewhere. I think that might be practical for that reason. He's like, I'm gonna wear this jacket so I can get, you know, use the transporter.
It didn't look like it was like a sanctioned uniform for any time period,
and you know, at the time period that he's in, this is a time period that we've never seen, so we don't know what the uniforms look like at this point, but you just have to assume that they look different.
The transporter, you said the word transporter, which made me think, could you recognize that transport, the I don't even know what you would call it, the lights, remember when the girl, whoever she, this new girl is,
yeah,
when she does the backflip over the thing and she's fighting those two black clad folks, who could they be? I don't even know.
Yeah, I feel like it's a new threat, but
Section 31.
Oh,
I think that would be really interesting, and that would make sense. That if Picard peels back whatever this problem is just enough, and he's like, "Oh, okay, Section 31, Starfleet's just completely off the table."
Sure. But anyway, the point that I was making was she was transporting in the midst of a backflip, which kind of hard to do, but. Like, was that transporter signature or graphic or whatever, was that, like, a typical... Like, I was trying to, in my mind,
did it look a little different?
Yeah.
You know, now that you say it, I wonder if it's just that's the technology that they have now, it just looks different. Because, obviously, the transporter looks different in the Next Generation versus the original series. And, yes, of course, you can talk about different special effects, but... It's very clearly it is a different effect. The equipment is different at that point. So who knows what they get to at that point. The most disappointing part of the trailer is the revelation that the series will be with us in 2020. Now, they made sure to say early 2020, mm-hmm. but it's not early enough because I'm going to guess it's not New Year's Day. So it's already, if it's January 2nd, that's already too late into the year.
100% agree.
Probably move Discovery to the spring, late spring then?
Well, Discovery's going to need a lot of time, I think, for their effects. Sure. And the writer's room seems to have been open since the season 2 actually ended. It seems like it's going to be a little while, but if you know, they can't put much on it, but I follow the Star Trek writers on Twitter. That's the Discovery writers.
Wow.
And, you know, every once in a while, they'll just put something that's like something from their writer's room, you know, just like ridiculous ideas that they have to discard. Like, well, what if Burnham eats a sandwich? That was something like that was one of them. So it's just,
exactly. And they also just did like a bunch of new
There's going to be new short treks. And one like, of them is going to be...
Focus. Get right. Picard
well,
out.
I think it's different people, I know, so it's fine. And also the people working on the main Discovery series, it seems to, you know, not interfere. You know, it was good to get the short treks before season 2. And it's... we're going to get a short trek of Pike and Spock.
Yay!
And I was just like, great. So just when are you giving us that series? I don't want that instead of anything.
Right.
I want that in addition to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Give us more Discovery. We'll get the Georgiou series. Section 31, if that's apparently a different series, fine. We'll get that too. Below Decks, I'm not that excited about, but sure.
But basically, everyone at Star Trek should be working 24/7. Like, if you guys are taking breaks or sleeping or eating, stop. And just... get us our shows.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. We love you.
And that's really the takeaway. We want to have more Star Trek because we would like to be doing this show weekly, like the name implies.
All year round. Yeah.
And just, you know, the news is a little bit of a trickle right now. But this was too big for us to ignore. And we hope that before too long, we'll be able to be back and, you know, Frank will be in uniform and ready to serve. But... we're glad that everybody was able to check this out. And, you know, we did this because people wanted to see us. They wanted to have somewhere to go to talk about the Picard trailer. And we were all excited to share it with each and every one of you. And it was fun because we haven't gotten together since then.
True.
Flobo and I did another show together. Yeah, we did a show called Chambers on Netflix. But it wasn't as fun to talk about a Star Trek.
Not at all,
But anyway, so that's it for this installment. And, you know, we'll be back. I can't say when. It's not because it's a secret. We just have no idea.
Right.
But I'm hoping that we're back really soon. But until then, Nikki, where do people keep in touch with you?
You can find me at @NikkiBailey_ on all the social medias.
And Flobo, where do people find you?
Hey, I'm at Flobo Boys on Twitter, at Flobito on Instagram, and Flobito.com. Just a final thought. I just want to say it's really cool that you have Discovery being the whole, like, space, the final frontier. Picard being like, here's a mission, bro. Kind of different flavors of a whole new universe.
Yeah. Big fan. No, it's great. It seems like all the different things that they have going on are going to be very different. And that's not even taking into consideration the Quentin Tarantino movie that may or may not happen. So that's also a completely different idea.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And Sunday nights here at AfterBuzz TV, I do Marvel TV Weekly at 9 Pacific. And over on the Popcorn Talk Network, Thursdays at 1 Pacific, Marvel Movie News. Thanks so much, everyone. But until next time, live long and prosper.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.